Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome back to another podcast episode from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. It's great to have you joining with us. I'm Pauline Kennedy and I'm PCI's Women's Ministry and PW Development Officer, and I'm your host for this episode. In this week's podcast, we will consider how we can reshape our thinking about women's ministry, exploring ways to go deeper together across the generations. And today I'm joined by three women who have a real passion to see women grow in their faith, to see them be disciples, as well as reaching out to others for Christ across the generations. They have a variety of experience in this area, and I trust that our conversation together will generate helpful learning and practice. Amy Summerfield is CEO of Kyria, a leadership network to champion, empower and release women into their spheres of influence. Amy's a regular conference speaker, and we are absolutely delighted that she's going to be our guest speaker at Presbyterian Women's Conference in Assembly Buildings Belfast next Saturday. Linda Beattie is a retired teacher and is involved in different aspects of women's ministry, both at local congregational level in Joymount, Carrickfergus, and centrally as she serves on the panel of Presbyterian Women. Deborah Sloan works for the University of Ulster and has been involved in different aspects of women's ministry, serving as a member of the Council of Congregational Life and Witnesses Strategy Panel for Women's Ministry, as well as being involved in writing resources for women's ministry group leaders. So thanks to you all for being willing to be part of this conversation today. So let's get things started. And can I ask you just to share a little bit about yourself, introduce who you are, where you're from and what you do. Amy, can we start with you?
Yeah, absolutely, Pauline. It's a joy to be with you today. So as you've already heard, I'm the CEO of a network called Kyria, which is there to champion, empower and release women into spheres of influence. So whether that be leadership in a church context or leadership in business or charity, home life, etc., we want to see women be able to thrive and step up in their rightful place to be able to lead. When I'm not doing that, I also work for Skylark International as their head of development. Skylark International is a bunch of churches, charities and kingdom initiatives, which has a mission to connect heaven to earth. And then alongside that, my husband and I, Matt, lead a church called Zeo. Zeo is the Greek word, which means passion, which is found in Romans 12. And that's in Hitchin on the border of Bedfordshire and Hertfordshire. And in my spare time, absolutely love baking a cake or two and obviously eating it. And then taking my very crazy Springer Spaniel's aid for walks. So that's me, friends.
Hi, it's lovely to be here today. My name is Linda Beattie. I'm married to Alan and we have two daughters. I'm a retired teacher, having taught music in Ballyclare Secondary School for over 30 years. I'm a member, as Pauline said, of Joymount Presbyterian Church in Carrickfergus. I'm the leader of our Presbyterian Women's Group. And I'm a member of the Presbyterian Women's Panel, and from that, a member of the Inspiration Subgroup. I enjoy shopping, I enjoy going for coffee and having a good natter.
Hello everyone, it's great to be part of this podcast. I'm Deborah. I'm a mum of four daughters. The oldest is 18, the youngest is 11, and I'm married to Russell. I grew up and still live in Belfast, and I belong to Orangefield in East Belfast. Prior to joining Orangefield just before Christmas, I was a member of Bloomfield for many, many years, and I also have a long-standing connection with Mount Pottinger due to growing up in the Girls Brigade there and becoming an officer there. My girls now attend the Girls Brigade in Mount Pottinger, so I like to think I have church family in a few different places. Professionally, I'm currently on a one-year career break from my job at University of Ulster, and I'm exploring a potential new career or business as a writer. So in many ways, I don't know exactly what God's plans are going to be for me.
Very good. Thank you. So can you share some of your experiences of women's ministry and what that means to you? Linda, will we start with you on that one?
Okay. Well, I suppose most of my experience of women's ministry comes from being involved with Presbyterian Women. From working as a teacher with children for many years, I felt that was where my strengths were. But over the last perhaps 10 years, I have become more involved in women's ministry, something I didn't really see myself doing. I've certainly been pushed out of my comfort zone, but one thing God has been teaching me is that I don't do anything on my own strength. And it has been amazing to see how God has shaped and equipped me to do what I'm doing. It has been and is the most rewarding thing, and I thoroughly enjoyed taking on leadership and working alongside other women, both locally in my church and at presbytery level as well, and also with the panel. And that has allowed me to meet so many different women, and so many of them have inspired and encouraged me.
Very good. Thank you. Deborah.
I think when we reflect on our experience of women's ministry, we have a tendency to maybe picture where we've been in a room with a whole lot of other women at the same time as part of a formal organisation or at an organised women's event, maybe doing a lot more listening than talking. So naturally, I think, for example, of having attended Presbyterian women meetings, annual conferences, church women's weekends and so on. But I think if we're to look at women's ministry as any opportunity that enables women to grow in their faith and then live out their faith in the world, then it's so much bigger. And for me, then it's really where I find community and develop deep relationships with other women that have then supported me and equipped me on my Christian journey, where I've done more talking, more sharing than listening. So I thought I would maybe just share a couple of examples of experiences of more informal women's ministry which have made a real difference to me. So firstly, studying the Bible with other women. About a year or so before the pandemic, I started a study group with other women which met in a coffee shop on a Sunday morning before church. And just due to having small children and a husband who was out of the country for a couple of days each week, home groups on a Wednesday evening really just did not work for me. It wasn't feasible for me to get to them. So this Sunday morning worked really well practically for other women in the same situation as me, and also for those who are more comfortable being part of an all-female group. And that group had women in their 20s up to women in their 70s. And we started with the community Bible experience, and then we followed the church's home group program. And it was a real place of strength and comfort when we continued to meet on Zoom during the pandemic. And we could be vulnerable together, which I think is really, really important. And then secondly, just hearing the stories of other women. Again, before the pandemic, I held a few evenings in my house where women just came along for a walk, supper, and a short talk. And at one of those evenings, we had a Q&A session with what I like to call wiser, more mature women from the congregation. And that was fascinating, as we got to hear not the theoretical principles, but real life examples of how God had worked in their lives through situations which impact all women across generations: illness, infertility, bereavement, being single, and so on. And so I think it's really all about building community and journeying together with others. That's what women's ministry really means to me.
Yeah, I'd really agree with that, Deborah, and interesting to listen to yours and Linda's experience. It's the same as mine, what my experience is for women's ministry. Obviously, a lot of my context at the moment as well is within Kyria. It's about women coming together to help enhance and grow and enlarge their leadership thinking. But you name it, we've done it. Kind of crazy car treasure hunts, more afternoon teas than I can count on all of my fingers. You know, the fun, varied opportunities of being together in a room as women and encouraging each other and sharing and feasting on shared experiences, whether they be good or whether they be a struggle. But one thing that's been really impressed on my heart recently with regards to women's ministry is what it looks like to glean from each other and to ebb and flow in various different generations. And something that we've recently done at Zeo is we've done kind of like soundbite little chats with various different women from different generations, starting as young as 15, 16, and going all the way up to their 70s. And it was such a rich experience, friends, of just being able to watch, listen, glean, get advice from women that are older than us, but women that are also younger. And I think what it's really done is it's opened our eyes to that kind of generational thinking about really what the challenges are, but also what the joys are for each generation, and how we can just relate, come alongside, disciple, cheer on, really, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's just having that opportunity to say, how do we do life together, and how do we champion each other closer to Christ? So it's a joy to be involved in women's ministry.
Some fantastic thoughts there, and really inspirational ideas that hopefully others listening will be able to kind of take forward and use. And I love the idea of getting those little sound bites, Amy, of different generations, and getting people to share across those generations. Such a natural way in many ways too, and so much to learn from each other in that experience. Having said all of that, what do you see are some of the challenges for women within our congregations and churches, and what do you think we can do to help reshape our thinking about ministry to women, Amy?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of challenges, isn't there, for not just any generation, but also whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. But I think that often a big challenge for women is busyness of life. You know, we're often carrying so many different things in our various different spheres of influence, whether we be women that are single, or whether we're women that hold down a career or hold down a family and we're juggling children, etc. So I think that challenge of time is definitely something that's probably true for every single one of us. And as the church, how do we respond to that? You know, we don't want to put more pressure into what is already a busy life for so many of our women. But how do we come alongside and offer streams, programmes, opportunities that complement what are already a busy lifestyle, but actually say, as we are going, how do we create patterns and possibilities for people to get to know Jesus more and travel together more? I'd say that's just a few of the challenges for women.
Deborah, any thoughts on that?
Well, Pauline, I thought a lot about this question, and Amy's maybe alluded to some of what I'm going to say as well, because I think there's a range of challenges for women, and I think they're interlinked, and I've kind of put them under three headings. So the first one being cultural, the second being personal, and the third one being practical. So just firstly, culturally, I think there's a real challenge around creating environments in churches where women are affirmed and encouraged to fully use their gifts. And I'm thinking here about both spiritual gifts and their natural gifts. And then secondly, personally, I think there's also a challenge around women fully knowing and understanding who they are as individuals, that kind of self-knowledge, just understanding themselves, and then how they're called. So really knowledge of who they are in Christ, and then discerning their calling as Christians. And then thirdly, practically, and I think this might be the most tricky challenge, and Amy has described this really well, there's a challenge around what opportunities women actually have for growth. Just going back to my issue I mentioned previously of not being able to attend anything on evenings during the week due to having small children, there is, and I hope I'm not generalizing too much here, a sense that women are already full to the brim with stuff to do. They're tired, they're stretched for time due to caring and other responsibilities, and COVID, the whole pandemic, has really heightened this. And basically, they don't need more stuff to do. So what we don't want to do is only offer women more opportunities to do the same stuff as they already do at home, or just more places to be that just takes up their time, rather than provides them with that spiritual growth. So I think reshaping our thinking about ministry to women means starting with acknowledging what those challenges are, trying to understand them a bit more, and then addressing them. So just looking at those cultural, personal, and practical challenges in some way, and I don't have all the answers for that, but I think it's something that we could think a lot more about.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think there are any kind of definite answers for everybody. There's not one blueprint. But certainly, I think what you've shared, Deborah, is certainly very helpful and very true in many of our groups that we're finding. People just are weary and they don't want to have too many things on their plate to attend. And I think that's important as we reshape our thinking about women's ministry and how we go forward in this moment. So in what ways, if any, do you think the challenges of COVID-19 pandemic have changed our thinking about programmes and activities? And we've kind of shared a little bit about that already. And how can we encourage a deeper relational ministry then among women of different ages? Deborah?
Well, thinking about the challenges of COVID first, what I keep hearing is that COVID has changed everything. Yeah, I'm not sure we're actually that clear on what exactly it has changed and what to do about it in our churches. So, and I think as well, Pauline, there's a conversation for the whole church here and not just women's ministry. But I think there's a couple of things that we do actually know that might bring real opportunities. So firstly, we know that people are stepping down from leading programmes and activities. They're choosing to spend their time differently. They're maybe looking for new places to live out their faith and their struggles to find new leaders. So there has to be honest conversations about what programmes and activities can and can't continue. So there's an opportunity, firstly, to streamline and prune. And then secondly, people are burned out generally from 2 years of trauma due to the pandemic. So they really, really need safe spaces and places to process that trauma. And there's an opportunity for churches, I think, to provide those spaces, not just for their members, but also in a broader missional capacity. And I'll talk a wee bit more about this later. But in terms of encouraging a deeper relational ministry among women of different ages, again, I think we have to recognise those cultural, personal and practical challenges and then understand what exactly has COVID changed and maybe think about those safe spaces and places and make women's ministry less formalised, less structured, less conversations, or less complicated and more conversations and more talking and listening to each other.
Thank you, Deborah. And Linda, have you any thoughts on that?
Well, in Joymount, the pandemic really made us think outside the box. And suddenly we had to find new ways to continue to have fellowship and also to be able to encourage and the need to say that we're still here. And that became so important during that time. So we had to think diversely about how to communicate. Social media has played a huge part with our particular group of women, but then we also had to think about those who didn't have access to social media. And so for that, we had a monthly newsletter which was posted out, and that became particularly important to those who were living on their own, as well as some of doorstep visits. So suddenly we were thinking like we never had to think before, and I think that was a good thing. And now I feel we maybe need to reflect on all of that, all that was different and all that challenged us, and to see how we can use those methods and that challenging thinking to develop women's ministry and for us to continue thinking outside the box and see where God is taking us all in this.
Yeah. Very important. I mean, I think we have learned so much, and it's recognizing that we have learned we do need to streamline, we do need to change things, and how we do that, we need to remember those things that we've learned, and as we move forward, take them with us. And that's so important. And I love how in Joymount you really considered not just the social media, but you also considered about other ways of reaching those women who didn't have social media, those older women, how you went out of your way. I know that you've created newsletters and different things, and you ended up there and on doorsteps, and that's so important, those connections. And it feeds back into what Deborah was saying, just those real connections, those real relational things. And that's the best thing I think we can take forward out of the pandemic, that relationships are so much more valuable to us than we maybe realized before. We need to go deeper together, and we need to find simple ways of doing that and realistic ways of growing together as women in Christ across our generations. So having said all of that, do you think there is a generation gap among women in our congregations? I often hear this from many of our groups, that we can't get the young women to come along. And so do you think that there really is a generational gap there? And if so, how do we reach those women of all ages? How should we renew our approach? And we've already alluded to some of that. And are there some approaches that need laid down to allow new ways to emerge? Deborah.
Okay, well, Pauline, I think this is a really interesting question, as we can't presume anything about generational gaps. I think there is a generational gap if we just view women's ministry within those existing formal structures. Maybe when we look at the measurable data, such as the number of people and the age of those who are coming along to existing programmes or activities. But I think there's less of a generational gap if we dig beneath the surface and we start to look at the less measurable, such as what's happening in a broader sense informally. And I think there's lots happening informally for women of all ages, just through study groups that have been set up, mentoring, coffee shop conversations, really, really important how many women meet each other in a coffee shop, wider gatherings, networks, maybe like Amy's Curia network that's been set up, and so on. There's lots of stuff happening. And I think, just as an aside, it's really important to note that, and I know this would be my experience, it's natural for women to gravitate towards other women who are of a similar age or at the same stage, so they can talk about similar things. So we have to accept that generational gaps will always naturally occur, and that happens outside the church in society, so it'll happen within the church context as well. But in terms of maybe setting aside or laying down some approaches, I think there's maybe been an over attempt just to try to shoehorn a new generation of women into existing or traditional programs and activities, just to get them to come along to more meetings or fit into existing structures, rather than, as Amy has talked about quite a bit, meet them where they are and encourage them both within the church and outside of it in their personal and professional lives. So I think we need to find common ground to build relationships across all ages. I mentioned earlier about universal experiences that connect all women that we can talk about together, and just getting a better understanding of what it is that women need, what they're thirsting for. Some examples would be more open and honest conversations in safe spaces. I think we all really want to do more of that. More stories from women who have gone before, who have lived out their faith. More opportunities to study the Bible, pray together, learn from each other, more sense of understanding what is my Christian calling, and maybe more recognition of the value of women and more encouragement from the wider church. So those are just some ideas about maybe how we could bridge that generational gap a little bit, if it does exist.
Yeah, thank you, Deborah. Amy?
Yeah, really, I'm in a lot of agreement with everything that Deborah shared and some of the great ideas and the initiatives that can flow from that. I mean, I think, sadly, there are many gaps in the life of the church, aren't there? And as we respond to that, hopefully as Christ followers, our heart is to want to bridge that, whether that be generationally or whether that be other ideas. And for me, what it looks like within the generational gap is, I guess a lot of it is about giving up our rights and laying down our preferences. You know, we've all got preferences, haven't we? We've all got things that we'd prefer to do. Maybe it's from that generational thinking or just wider preferences and interests. And to really be other-centered means having the courage and having that other-centeredness to other women to actually lay down what some of our preferences are and defer to each other. And that's what I really think can be true beauty as we walk together as women, regardless of our generation, regardless of our culture, regardless of where we're from and what our preferences are. And, you know, it's really exciting to think that in just a week's time, we're going to be meeting together to explore what it looks like to go deeper together and really to be devoted to one another, as Paul told us in Romans 12, verse 10. And imagine if we could all practice these one another's of the Bible, honouring each other, loving one another, forgiving one another. I think for me, if there were any generational gaps or whatever those gaps are, if we just practice some of those one another's, laying down our preferences, laying down our rights and actually surrendering to each other the way Christ did and the way Christ encourages us to, what would that look like? What could we become as women as we journey? So the future's bright if we could just have the faith and have the courage to do that.
I love that, if we're practicing the one another's and what we're taught, then it is a choice that we need to make as well. I think there's intentionality about the whole thing, isn't there? We do need to think, you know, along those lines of the one another's and create intentional opportunities and take up those opportunities to do that across generations and not just our own preferences, as you have said, Amy. So from your experience then, what might be some helpful first steps for both individually and as a local church about renewing our approach, do you think, Amy?
I mean, I think definitely a helpful first step, without sounding far too holy and religious, is prayer. I mean, for goodness sake, our greatest weapon and our greatest need is to turn to God in all of this, yeah, and start from that place of being on our knees and coming before God and say, help us to know how to do this. And as we develop that deeper prayer culture, and as we develop that deeper culture of worshipping together, then unsurprisingly, out of the overflow of that, God's goodness of vision and direction and clarity then flow. Yes. So I definitely think the simplicity of coming before God in prayer and worship before we do anything else flows. But I think one practical idea, which has always been something that we've seen happen well within my various different contexts, is something that we call compass living. And compass living, if you just want to imagine with me, that of course on a compass you have a point of north, a point of south, and a point of east and west. Because really for me, some of our response and answer to this question is about how we actually provide relationship and discipleship to each other. And so our norths are people that we look up to. Maybe you might want to call them a mentor or a coach. It's just someone who you feel has done the yards of like leadership or experience or walking with God more than maybe where you're previously at. And what would it look like if every single one of us had an appointed north in our life that we spent time with, we were accountable with, we were transparent with, so that actually we could journey closer to Jesus? And then our east and west, if you like, they're like our running buddies, they're our peers, they're people that we've got shared experiences with, whether that be from a generational experience or a workplace or just common interest, etc. And doing things like regularly reading the word together, just having small groups opportunities of going out for a drink or sharing in a class together, etc. If we all had those east and west that we were just consistently saying we're prepared to go on a journey with, how strengthening could that be for us, but also how strengthening could we be to someone else? And then finally, selves. And those are people that we're pulling up. Those are people that we're encouraging. And we're saying, come on a journey with me and come into not just my way of thinking, but come into maybe some patterns and some habits and some cultures that can draw that woman closer to Christ. If we had a north in our life, if we had more norths, because remember, it's not just one, if we had east and west, if we had selves in our life, I feel that 360 approach could really be something that could invigorate the church and see every woman recognised and see every woman counted in the bride of Christ.
Oh, I love that, Amy. I really love that. A north, a south, an east and a west. I love it. Oh, right. I can just visualise that. It's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us. Linda?
Yes, well, as Amy said, I think the first thing we need to do is pray. We also need to encourage and we need to challenge. I feel in churches we sometimes think very organisational. And by that, I mean that we have organisations that meet once a week or once a month on a particular night. And there we stay all in our little boxes in our own little area. So I feel that we need to encourage women of different ages to come together. We need to bridge those organisational ideas. That women's ministry must be looked at something that is much bigger and much broader, and that happens every day where we are, whether we're in the church building or not. It happens, for example, when you speak to the girls' brigade captain and ask, what do you need me to pray for you and for your girls and for your officers, rather than just simply praying for them. Again, as it has been said before, both by Deborah and Amy, it's all about building relationships, starting the conversations, especially with the people that we don't normally converse with. And it's about being intentional, asking questions, getting to know individuals, building relationships, and most importantly, seeking God to see what his purpose is. And that's something that we can all do individually. You mentioned in your question there about as a local church, and I'm just going to share one experience that worked really well for us, and that was having an event where every person in the church was approached and asked to take part. And we ended up having a weekend exhibition of crafted Bible stories, something that's very popular in churches. We all like to craft. And we had months of preparation, and everyone from tiny tots right through to our eldest member got involved in knitting and sewing and painting and creating this exhibition. But people got talking, people were creating, and they were sharing experiences as they met. And we had a wonderful weekend where we opened it up to the community and we finished it with a Thanksgiving service. And it really was a truly blessed experience. But from that, we now have got to know a lot more people in our church by name. Our craft group was established and they have worked with many local charities in our community now. And it might just have been one event, but there has been a huge ripple effect from that on many levels. And it was a real starting point, which God has used in so many ways in our church. So as a church, I think we need to try and get rid of the organisational thinking that I was just talking about and really look at it as a true family approach, where families are there for you when you need them. They're there to listen, to advise, to comfort, to encourage, and to help practically. And I think that's what God has put us here to do.
Linda, that is so good. You know, it's so important to think outside of the box, as you said, and to see ourselves as everyday women and everyday Christians, that we are intentionally looking to build relationships with each other and taking those steps to do that. And that should surely renew so many things and change the outcome of what we do. So thank you all for that. That's so helpful, certainly to me. I'm inspired by what you've shared. And just as we kind of come to the end of this podcast and this conversation, I'd love if you would share a passage of scripture that you think is particularly helpful from where we are, for where we are now in this moment. And Linda, I'll go back to you on that one first.
Okay, well, I have a few verses here from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through to 17. And I just really love this passage, particularly the first line. There's just so many reminders in this passage. But the first line, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him."
Brilliant verses. Thank you, Linda. You may.
So for me, it would be Romans 15, verse 13, which gives this wonderful promise and declaration, which says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And I think for me, the key part in that scripture is that the result of this passage, of us allowing ourselves and inviting God to come and fill us with hope and joy and peace, is that as a result, that then we would overflow with that hope to others. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Lovely. Deborah.
So I've chosen Mark 16, 15, and it's, "He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." So for me, this goes back to what Linda said about what God has placed us here to do, and what Amy said about setting aside our preferences and the potential for what we could do together as women, and Pauline, what you've mentioned about intentionality. So I think we can have lots of conversations and debates about how the church should function, what women's ministry is, and go back and forth about how to manage challenges, COVID, generational gaps, busy lives. But really, if we go back to basics, what is it we're being called to do? And that's preach the gospel. And an alternative word for preach is proclaim. And that can happen anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a room at a particular time. from a pulpit or even within a formal structure at all. It's about sharing our lives and sharing what Christ has done for us. So in this moment, how can we encourage women to go out and just proclaim the gospel, whatever that looks like? And that for me is what it's all about.
Thank you so much. That is so good. And such a great verse too to end on. So thank you for sharing. Those are some great reminders from God's word to his people as we seek to be faithful women, faithful and effective servants in these days. Thanks, Amy and Deborah and Linda, for joining with us today and for sharing your thoughts and your experiences and really helping us to reshape our thinking about women's ministry and how we live that out in the days that come. I find this very helpful, very inspirational, and I'm sure many of our listeners will too, so thank you so much. Before we finish today, let me remind you to keep an eye on our PCI social media channels, where you can be kept up to date with what's going on across the denomination. But that's all for this episode, and we hope that you will join us next time when Neil Harrison will be taking a look at summer mission opportunities. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.